everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, I thought the 100 degrees were in the rearview mirror.
I guess yesterday we were flirting with the 100 degrees. And tomorrow or today we are asking them out, it out.
Yesterday 99, and then looks like 100 today. Then let's hope that's the end of it. You know, what a summer. Anyway, that's for another day. Tom, thank you very much for the work you do on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're delighted that our friends at Green Things have the naming rights to our studio. And, of course, we're on the campus of Bustos Media in Tucson now with 5 radio stations. Our newest acquisition is The Drive. And this radio station is 1030 KVOI, the voice for trusted news and talk. We'll begin our 14th year in January with our radio show and our 36th year on TV and radio in Tucson. I came to town in January 1988. So, yeah, that would be the beginning of year 36. Worldwide live listening, podcasts, and show archive at buckmastershow.com for our telephone interviews. And folks are always welcome to join us on the live line at 790-2040 anytime during the program. If you have any questions or comments, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group, which is Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, Dr. Kate Kensky is with us and joining me in the interview today, and I'll give the full bio for Dr. Kensky after I introduce my co-media host today, and that's Tim Steller. 2022 Arizona Newspaper Association of the Year columnist, and he also won a similar award with the Press Club, Arizona Press Club, in 2019. Dr. Kensky teaches political communication, public opinion, and research methods at the Department of Communication at the University of Arizona. Prior to teaching at the UA, she was senior analyst at the Annenberg Public Policy Center. That's based at the University of Pennsylvania, and a member of the National Annenberg Election Survey Team in 2000 and 2004. She's the co-author of The Obama Victory, How Media, Money, and Message Shaped the 2008 Election. Kate, great to see you again. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks so much for having me.
First of all, Kate, my sincere condolences on the passing of your father, Dr. Henry Hank. To all his friends, everybody knew him as Hank Kensky, was a renowned University of Arizona professor of communication. He served many years as the district representative for his friend, longtime friend. They were debating pals back at the University of Arizona, Senator John Kyle. It was quite the dream team. Your dad and your mom, Dr. Margaret Kensky, who preceded your dad's death by 8 years. They were quite a team. Your mom, a top Arizona pollster, and of course, your dad, an expert in political messaging. Personal note, I was honored to interview them many times when I hosted Arizona Illustrated on AZPM over a 22-year period. I always looked forward not only to what they had to say, but I look forward to their company as well, and my condolences to you.
Well, thank you so much. Enjoyed your company as well. My mom loved being on your show, and they were both committed Arizonans. They loved politics,
yeah.
They loved debate, yeah. And they loved the community.
And look at you, and look at how their influence has rubbed off on what you do.
Very much so. I think it'd be hard to find a child who probably hasn't very closely followed my parents' footsteps.
All right. I join millions of Americans who are just not excited about the 2024 presidential election. You've got two, let's call them senior citizens. I think Trump is 77, Biden's 80. Boy, there are a lot of people out there saying, gee, couldn't we find somebody else?
Yes, I think a lot of people are feeling that way. And we have a unique situation where we are facing highly polarized times. Of course, you know, all times in elections, we have people who are most supportive of their parties. But it's hard to find, you know, different points of time where we've felt quite as much animosity towards the other side and so much entrenchment. I think the other thing people are experiencing is just the previous election combined with the pandemic was hard. It was emotionally hard to go through those times. And you know, having a repeat is probably not what most people, you know, want to see.
And that could be what's shaping up, according to polling. I mean, when we see that this is right now, it's very close, and we're all going, oh, no, are we going to have to go through this again?
And the polling, I mean, so far. Now, of course, we have to keep in mind that things technically can change.
13 months away from the election.
You know, it used to be that, you know, the election cycles were much shorter. The primaries were much closer to the general. But if the past is a predictor, usually those are ahead or are the ones who are selected. Mm-hmm. And that's what we face. And currently, when we look at the polls, both are ahead. Now, again, everything can change. Events happen. The parties aren't committed yet. But yes, the race that you're projecting is the one that I think most people would say is going to happen.
Let's bring in Tim Stellar. Tim?
Yeah, how with Joe Biden, I know there's been at least one congressman, Dean Johnson from Minnesota, who has been a Democrat, who's been saying, we can't have Biden again. Come on. Is there any movement on the Democrat side to mount a different campaign, an alternative candidate that's a true Democrat as opposed to someone like Robert Kennedy?
I think that will be hard to do. I mean, simply because he is president. And the bottom line is incumbents run, and usually incumbents win. Now, that's not always the case. We can look to 2020 for that. But there is a risk in putting the eggs in the basket of someone who is unvetted, and what kind of fracturing will occur if the Democrats were to take that path. Yeah.
Does this open up the a path for another third-party candidacy or a possibly successful one this time?
I would say, you know, successful. I think what's likely to happen, as is I think usually the case, even with really strong third-party candidacies, is, you know, them coming maybe second and fracturing the vote. And so I think that's just sort of a realistic, you know, outcome of what happens with third parties. They express usually legitimate discontentment with what other side they emerged from. They try to raise important issues that they don't feel are being addressed by their party at the time. But fracturing will occur, and so people have to decide, do you want to muddle through the issues, or do you want to play it safe and ensure that your party...
You know, and then you've got the vice president. She's not popular, according to the polling. And that might be, if she was very popular, I think people might feel a little bit better about voting for Joe Biden. But people, she has a lot of negatives, Dr. Kensky, and people are saying, well, you know, if Biden, being at his age, anything can happen. I mean, anything could happen in the next 13 months.
And, you know, that's not unlike arguments when John McCain chose Sarah Palin. Generally speaking, the literature is really clear on this, that vice presidents, for the most part, do not make or break who is going to win.
Really?
They simply do not. There are arguments about, you know, getting votes from, you know, being the favored son or daughter from a state, et cetera, et cetera. But generally speaking, they don't. In 2008, however, you know, Palin did make a little bit of a difference. And part of it was because the Obama campaign had successfully lodged I don't even think they were that subtle, but they weren't overt or basically messages about McCain's age. If you go back and you look at Obama's ads, you know, words like the same old politics, there isn't a coincidence that he was using those phrases as John McCain was running. And again, if that's the one election where we can say, yes, Sarah Palin actually did get a lot of coverage for one, usually vice presidents don't, candidates don't, and, you know, probably hurt the ticket in the end. And that's unusual. And so in this case, could that be a repeat just on the other side? Possibly.
What we are seeing with these debates, and there has been very little interest in the numbers have not been that great of people that have been viewing. What have we had? Two of the Republican presidential debates so far. It almost seems like it's a tryout, Dr. Kansky, for who Trump is going to put on as the vice presidential candidate. Do you kind of feel that way?
Quite possibly, because, right, we need, because when candidates choose who their running mate's going to be, it needs to be someone.
It's like an audition.
Absolutely. And, you know, in that sense, they are useful events.
Do you think there are, what are events that could occur that would prevent Donald Trump from being the Republicans' nominee this time?
That's interesting speculation.
Well, he's got four indictments against him, so at least it's not hypothetical.
Right. Well, it's just that. Although having said that, I think that it is interesting that support for Donald Trump, despite the indictments, which went from hypothetical to real, and he still manages to garner a notable amount of support among people who previously supported him and on the other side. So,
what do you mean on the other side?
So the Republicans. Other side from Biden's administration. So I mean, guess what I'm saying is that it's fairly consistent. Now, I've said actually on this show before, and I think it's still very much the case that when you look at polls or when you see polls, usually one poll doesn't give you very much information. And I think in this day and age where polling has some complications with it, that is, not everyone who is asked to participate in a poll does. But the one thing that you can look at is, you know, what do the trajectories look like? And when we look at the trajectories in support for Donald Trump, what is interesting is we don't see major drops. One might think that, you know, if, you know, indictments happen, there should be some drop. That doesn't end up being the case. I mean, he's still fairly steady support for his candidacy.
Does he pick up some boost? Does he get a boost with these indictments?
That, well, we'll see. I mean, really, it's just like the curves kind of go up and down if you look at how people feel about him. And I think part of it is that if you, you know, you probably, when you voted for Trump, knew what some of the arguments against him were already going to be. And so if you supported him in 2020, despite what you saw as those negatives, you probably weren't going to change. And I think that ends up being the case. People, you know, already said, well, you know, a lot of people don't even necessarily believe in indictments, despite the indictments. Mm-hmm. They don't see the complications with what he's done. And so there is that.
But doesn't it, so his supporters are firm with him, and we kind of know that. It's been the case for a long time. But you can't win an election by winning 80% of the Republicans and nobody else. So do the indictments possibly turn the important people he needs to win over against him and keep him from getting that majority as a result?
And I think that's a good question, because one thing that we've seen in years, right, is an increase in the number of people who identify as independent. And so they're kind of the base that one has to play to. I think what's interesting is that if you look across a series of polls that are asked not of party members but just of U.S. citizens, you know, if the election were held today, who would you vote for, Biden or Trump? And when they do those kind of polls, really, it just flips, you know, back and forth between Biden and Trump. It's still incredibly close. So those would include
independents. People they need to win.
All right, when we come back with Dr. Kate Kansky, we'll talk a little bit about polling and how it has changed. My goodness, back in the day, everybody had a landline, And it was a little bit, I would assume, easier, Dr. Kansky, to do some polling. And now there are all sorts of challenges. We'll talk a little bit about that after we take a break. But right now I want to tell everybody about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and it's also home for great comfort food. Everybody loves I think everybody loves bakery goods. I know I have all my life. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and their website is monasdanishbakery.com. They're open Tuesday through Sunday. They open the doors at 6:30, and they serve a great lunch. They're open right now for lunch, and of course, you can do breakfast anytime as well. Mona's Danish Bakery and home of the Danish Kringle. We'll be right back with Dr. Kate Kansky.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. Dr. Kate Kansky is with us from the University of Arizona, where she teaches political communication, public opinion, research methods in the Department of Communication. Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Our friend Tom, engineering and producing the program, sent me a great question. I think we were talking a little bit about it during the break. When President Trump was elected, he was seen as an outsider. How is he seen today? Is he seen as more of a political figure, Dr. Kansky?
I mean, I think that's a great question. He certainly has tried to cast himself as an outsider. And that was kind of the part of the problem of with his 2020 campaign. It is hard to, or it's not advisable when you are an incumbent running to run on the same kind of messages that you ran when you were in fact the challenger. But that is essentially what his campaign did, and it has to shift. I think it's a pretty hard argument to make, or a persuasive argument to make, to say you're an outsider when you've been president.
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
When you've been at the kind of pinnacle of political power,
absolutely.
How can you be an outsider? Yeah.
Compare him to Biden, is he an outsider compared to who's currently in the White House? Yes. Yeah. But is he an outsider to politics, and quite as fresh and unique as he was in 2016? No.
Can I ask you a little bit more about that? Because one thing I've been fascinated by it's been going on for decades, is this issue of elitism, or running as against the elites. And I know that Trump did that in 2016, and I think you're saying he kind of did the same thing, although maybe not so much against the elites, in 2020. I mean, it always strikes me, not to put a too fine a point on it, it's just total garbage. Like, everyone, almost everyone at these levels is an elite of one sort or another. And I guess I'm asking you whether that's the case. Am I right about that? Or are there really outsiders who are getting in these levels and in the campaign?
Well, I think that's certainly an excellent question. And, it's not really possible to run for something like president if you haven't been in some kind of halls of power. What made Trump unique, of course, in 2016 is that he'd never been elected. But nevertheless, having the kind of money he did certainly put him in a certain sphere. So I think that what part of the question might be is who you can convince, or who needs to be convinced, that being an outsider is the person to be. That's of course, if we're going to get a swell. And to the extent you can get your audience to believe it, then I guess it's true. And we do know that he has managed to convince a lot of people that he was, in fact, an outsider.
Mm-hmm. Polling has become so difficult, hasn't it, Dr. Kensky?
It has indeed.
How do you get a good sample?
That's a great question. It's very different. So typically, when we're talking about trying to create studies where we can generalize, we want to be able to get a great random sample from the population that we're studying. And what has become the case with landlines not being the place to be, more people not answering surveys, is very simply, we don't have those same kind of representative samples. So what ends up happening is that it's sort of all in the art of weighting data. You know that you're probably going to get more females in your study than males. And so when you do the analysis, you use weights on those male cases. But that's also risky too. Because in a pure form, if you want to generalize, you need that random sample, and we just don't have that today.
Here's Tim Stellar.
What about this action in the U.S. House of Representatives this week? So it was completely unprecedented, right, that they vote out a speaker? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so we have in Tucson one Republican and one Democrat who are in the House representing different sides of town. Juan Siskamani, who represents the east side and all the way up to Casa Grande, down to the corner of Arizona, New Mexico, and Mexico. He is a Republican who was a close ally of Kevin McCarthy. So how does that affect him losing his, I don't know if it's a mentor, but at least, a guy he was closely allied with, a speaker?
We'll have to see how it plays out. I think that, the actions were taken, so that is now done. So I think the question is, what are the choices that he's going to make moving forward, right? Does he choose to, who does he choose to support for the next speaker? And that's really what we'll be telling.
Mm-hmm. And then the Democrats, like Raul Grijalva, I think took a bit of a gamble in deciding they're just going to join that handful of Republicans to vote against McCarthy. Is that something with some risk for them, for the Democrats?
Well, it is certainly a risk. On the one hand, there were certainly issue differences, very transparent issue differences between the Democrats and McCarthy. On the other hand, it's a gamble because you don't know who is now going to take that spot. And if it could be someone who is even not just different from the issue positions the Democrats were taking, but someone who chooses to start closing off avenues in the process to let discussion occur.
So it could be it could harm them in the short term, but maybe they're gambling that in the long term, it's going to be someone that turns off the public or a house overall that does things that the public doesn't like.
Absolutely. So the question is, I mean, there's, you know, two possibilities. One is they're better off because the Republicans, let's say theoretically, choose someone who's more moderate. Now, that's not likely to happen. So the other possibility is someone is exceedingly extreme and in the next year does things where independents, when it comes to voting, say, this is not, you know, this is something we simply can't support.
If I may, let me read you something from Tyler Bowyer, who is a Republican National Committeeman. I can't find the exact tweet, but essentially, he is a Republican National Committeeman from Arizona, young guy who is part of the Turning Point USA group. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, here it is. He said, this is just a few days ago, somebody prominent needs to step up and primary Juan Ciscomani. This is a Republican National Committeeman. Mm-hmm. You would get the Trump plus grassroots endorsements and annihilate his short congressional record. Easy to win the district with turnout in presidential race for a conservative, maybe equally as important as the AZ Senate race.
And that's one of the two committee people from the state of Arizona. Yeah. Wow.
Does this make sense?
Again, I mean, it's a little bit of a gamble. So there's going to be a question is who chooses to fall in line in support of the next Speaker of the House? And if certain Republicans don't support who that is, I mean, certainly different groups, you know, could choose to, you know, fund other campaigns to perhaps put in people who are more of a hard line in that area. Now, I say it's a gamble, though, because it's a question of do we focus on the short term of who wins the primaries, you know, at potentially, you know, at risk of who wins those districts in the general election. But it's certainly a bit of threat going on in terms of who is supported next.
Dr. Kate Kensky is our Friday Focus interview here on the Buckmaster Show, and I'm thinking about the really long-term implications for Ukraine. This is the Ukrainians have to be very concerned, Dr. Kensky, about aid still coming to their country with what's going on in Washington. I mean, they don't have much of a surplus that lasts maybe a couple of months. If the United States decides we're not going to be sending much money or armaments, it's over.
That, I mean, it would certainly, they'd have to get resources
somewhere,
from somewhere else.
Somewhere else, but...
And I guess the question would be, would other countries step up?
Yeah, but this is really... Tim, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Republicans are becoming less enthralled with supporting the Ukraine effort, but Democrats are pretty unified, and there's quite a few Republicans as well, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, it seems like there's a majority... but the problem is that it's not necessarily the majority of the majority party, the Republicans. Is that what's going on?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, so again, this could be one of those issues where the American public's point of view doesn't hold sway just because of the way the membership of the Congress shakes out.
Here's a kind of a long-term look at when Trump eventually... gets out of politics, and of course that will happen at some point, whether he loses this presidential run or whatever happens to his political future. What happens, Dr. Kensky, to his movement, to Trumpism, to the MAGA movement when their leader is just not on the scene anymore? Does it have legs to continue?
You know, I'm not sure if the, you know, without him, that'll continue in the same vein. But at the same time, he has managed to coalesce a series of interests that were dissatisfied, right, and disgruntled with the government as it was. And I think that he managed to find that group from different places like the Tea Party or mm-hmm. whatnot. And so I think that those same kind of concerns continue, even if he doesn't. And they are certainly things that, you know, need to be, you know, addressed, you know, and discussed through. There's another question of, does he have it in himself to, at some point, choose an heir apparent to continue on? Mm-hmm. And that, given his personality, I think sharing the spotlight has not, in the past anyway, been his strength.
Mm-hmm.
But if he wants the legacy to continue, you do need an heir.
And that's where the vice president pick could come into play on the Trump ticket. All right, Tim, before we let Dr. Kensky go, you have another quick question?
Oh, I wish it were quick. But okay, we got a little Senate race next year.
Yeah.
And is this shaping up to be a three-candidate race with Kyrsten Sinema as the independent, the incumbent? Is that right? And then a Democrat and a Republican?
That, we'll have, it appears so. And I think one thing, just looking, as of, I think it was last month, or maybe it might have been July, the voter registration statistics in Arizona. So we have the Republicans and independents being the strongest groups, a little over 34%, with ever so slightly an edge to those independents, and Democrats around the 30% mark. And so there's that. But there's always a question about what independents will do, because independents oftentimes have strong opinions. They just have some problems with the major parties, which is why they choose to be independents.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are pure, they're less dependable as a group, but they still have opinions. And so I think there is a question of to whom Sinema would appeal.
Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, well, so, it's essential. Like, so independents aren't necessarily independent. In other words, they lean toward one party or the other typically, right?
Many do, yes. Yeah. So if you ask them a question, typically when we are doing polls, we ask people, what party are you from? When they tell us independent, the most common follow-up question is, well, if you had to choose right now, where would you lean, to the Republicans mm-hmm. or the Democrats?
Yeah.
And a strong majority of them will give some kind of response.
Yeah. And then if Carrie Lake, so it's Carrie Lake and Blake Masters, who are the two candidates we know for sure, right? Mm-hmm. For the Republican
correct.
Nomination.
Right.
So if Carrie Lake is nominated, is this kind of like a Trump scenario where the Republicans are very enthusiastic about the candidate, but the other people aren't so enthusiastic with Carrie Lake?
Quite possibly. I mean, given some of her stances, I would say that is correct.
All right, Dr. Kensky, thank you very much. Great to see you.
All right, well, thank you again for having me.
And again, I'm sorry about your dad.
Thank you.
All righty. We will take a break right here. I've got a couple of items I want to talk to Tim Steller about as we continue with the Buckmaster Show on a Friday afternoon.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade, using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Kate Kensky.
Still hard not I know. To make that
Margaret's
mistake.
Wonderful daughter was our guest, and Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star. And my goodness, the pedigree of the polling in that family,
yeah.
The Kensky family, and and political messaging. I mean, it's in their DNA.
Yep, and other stuff.
So we thank very much Kate for coming in, and we're sorry about her loss for her dad. All right, Tim, there are a couple of stories I want to talk about with you in the next 10 minutes. Why don't we talk about the one that I think there's a tremendous interest in? Because when it comes to animal welfare issues, people get pretty worked up.
Yep.
And I kind of fall into that category. I kind of consider one of my passions, and certainly my late wife, Ann Buckmaster, was animal welfare issues. Now we have this situation at the Tucson Humane Society. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of figure out what's going on here?
I mean, I can give a brief sketch. It's been funny from my perspective. I started getting emails about 3 weeks ago,
yes,
about this.
Uh-huh.
And yes, the passion is, you know, hard to match when you're talking about people's passion for animals. And so they really wanted to know what happened when the San Diego Humane Society sent around 300 small
little animals,
rodents, yeah, and like rats and, yeah, rabbits and stuff like that, to the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, which then placed them, they said, with a group that they wouldn't identify because the group didn't want to be identified up in Maricopa County or Pinal County.
Buckeye or something?
I think it was Apache Junction, which would be Pinal.
Yeah.
Anyway, kind of a firestorm grew among the members and donors of the Humane Society demanding to know what exactly happened with these little animals. And under the surface, there was a suspicion that perhaps they had been given to somebody who might have used them as...
To feed the reptiles.
Yeah, as feed.
Yeah.
For snakes or reptiles. So, the agreement allegedly was that this recipient not be named. And that didn't sit well with the members. Now, Steve Farley, the president, is very well known locally.
He was in the legislature for 12 years, ran for governor at one point, and ran for mayor here,
yeah,
in the city of Tucson.
He's known for his public art,
yeah,
projects,
public art
designing
projects.
Those.
He was, yeah, advocate for the downtown transit back in the late 90s. I mean, Steve Farley had a pretty darn good reputation.
Yeah, and It is tarnished for sure. He says that he didn't make the arrangement. He's saying this now. Well, to make a long story short, he was first suspended and then fired yesterday from as CEO of the Humane Society. And it was all because, I mean, you could see the writing on the wall. When the donors start to get upset and the activist members, then, you know, you've lost the organization. He said that the arrangement was made without his consent or knowledge, but, you know, he tried to abide by its terms. And that obviously wasn't good enough for people. So, yeah, it was a real... it's a strange story. I mean, it was...
It's very strange.
In some ways, we've covered it in The Star, and the other news outlets have covered it. And, you know, it's hard to avoid when there's a group of people that's very excited or upset about it. On the other hand, I never quite knew how to put it in proportion. Like, how much does this really matter? Well... I guess it matters in the sense that it's a local. Obviously, it matters to these 300 mm-hmm. little animals, but most importantly, it matters to the members of this
of the Humane
relatively
Society.
Significant, you know, local organization.
We don't know what happened to about 250 of the 300 animals,
right.
But there is an investigation, and I presumably will get to the bottom of it and figure out what happened to the little animals, whether they were. The suspicion is that, you know, that they were used as feed for mm-hmm. at a reptile farm.
Yeah, and the funny thing, though, is like, I mean, people feed rodents to other animals all the time. So what makes it different is just that... this is a membership organization where they don't expect the animals to be fed to
exactly.
But there's, when you step back and look at the ethics of it, I think the real issue is in the organization. It's not in the broader ethics because
No.
Treatment of animals is a whole different realm that, you know, you can get into factory farming and all those things.
Just a very, very odd story.
Yes.
It's the situation at the University of Arizona, where they have beefed up security after, it's been a year since the tragic shooting of Professor Meixner.
Yep.
At the university, I think it was a year ago yesterday. Is security better, Tim Steller?
My understanding is yes. I've heard a lot of praise for Steve Patterson, who came in from the FBI to take on a security role at the U of A. They've also replaced the chief of police. And so...
The chief of police, really, this came in a woman chief of police. Very early in her tenure, this issue came up. I think she'd only been there...
A few months. Correct. However, she, you know, nobody had had much knowledge of her, but she really lost credibility because in the initial announcement of the shooting, she said that, I might be quoting her here, if you see something, say something, we need to know about these things. And she obviously didn't know at that stage, but the hydrology department faculty and students had been screaming about this guy for 11 months.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that continues to anger people or leave people dissatisfied, was that this felt like something that could have been prevented, mm-hmm. as opposed to the many other shootings we have all the time in this mm-hmm. country mm-hmm. that are like unannounced.
Yes.
This was announced. Mm-hmm. And the student who was accused of it is, you know, facing trial here in Tucson.
Have they moved that venue? Or?
No.
No.
And I mean, I think a lot of people think that we were very lucky that only one person died. There's a lot of suspicion that he was looking for at least two other people who happened not to be in the building at that moment. I interviewed three of the people who were witnesses last week, who worked in the front office, and that's basically where Tom Meixner fell when he was shot. And the thing that often goes unnoticed is the ramification, the long-term effects on other people that this kind of thing leaves.
For sure,
It just goes on and on. I was at the memorial service yesterday. I was an anniversary type memorial service at the Newman Center on campus. And it was interesting. Chris Castro, who is the interim hydrology and atmospheric sciences department head right now, he gave a long talk and hit all these important points well, but it really jumped out at me that he again hit the point of accountability. Mm-hmm. And I think there's still a sense that not everybody who needed to be held accountable for failing has been held accountable. Mm-hmm. That there have been improvements, and he recognized that in handling threats and in various aspects of campus safety, but that accountability still remains kind of unaccomplished.
I mean, let's face it. It is a public university. People come and go, and it's a huge job to try to harden the security at a place like the University of Arizona. I can't even imagine. You mentioned the former FBI official who's now kind of overseeing the security. Mm-hmm. It's a huge job.
Yeah, I think everyone kind of realizes, everyone on campus, that if you're going to have an open campus, there are inherent risks. And I mean, I think really what you can ask for is that threats and behavior that is really out of line be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then you're going to solve a lot of the problems that you might have.
Getting back to our interview with Dr. Kensky, the anger level in politics mm-hmm. is just turning so many people off. And you just wonder how that's going to play in these upcoming elections.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I don't know if it's just me being a Pollyanna, but it feels to me like people haven't been able to sustain the rage all these almost 8 years now. And that some of it is dying. I mean, obviously diehard mm-hmm. political activists retain their passion, but there has been an anger that's just been so hot for so long. And I feel people get turned off from that. And also that at some point you just can't keep going that way anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks, Tim. And what's your column on this Sunday?
I'm talking about trees being cut down, homeless people. That whole dynamic is fascinating.
It is.
There's a lot more going on than just this incident at the Wash over in Hedrick Acres neighborhood. There's a lot of dynamics involving trees and people in Tucson.
Are you going to pick up that theme when you host the show for me in mid-October?
That's my plan.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a lot to dive into in that area.
You could talk about it every day.
Okay. All right, Tim Stiller, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. It's coming right up.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC, so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
All righty then, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where it's in the mid-70s. Boy, you cannot beat that forecast for this weekend. If you're looking to get away, and I hope you are, early fall getaway, land of enchantment, beautiful weekend, mid-70s, overnight lows around 50, perfect weather to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Just hang out in a really beautiful environment. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Lots of recreation ideas there on the website to tempt you. And here's the good news, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, and a dedicated foodie, Mr. Matt Russell. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful Friday. You got a great weekend on tap, Bill.
Yeah, I understand there's a concert that you want to tell everybody about tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Great way to kick off the weekend, I think. Head up to the Steam Pump Ranch up in Oro Valley tonight at 7 o'clock. Beautiful night of live music right on the lawn there. The band that they have is going to be dishing out songs from the 50s to today. Lots of classic rock, country, blues, even a few disco hits. You can expect tonight. There's going to be plenty of food trucks on site. Come hungry. And don't forget to bring chairs or blankets. It's the Friday night concert al fresco tonight at the Steam Pump Ranch.
Yeah, you may have to break out that disco, that kind of, it's like a jumpsuit. a jumpsuit with that actually has a little belt that is part of the jumpsuit itself, with a big zipper in the front, and that thing's been in your closet for probably about 20 years. So
that's just a frightening image, Bill. A frightening image indeed.
Hey, are we still doing Oktoberfest events?
Absolutely. Another one from the Oktoberfest news desk. The Hut on 4th Avenue, they're going to be hosting their second annual Tucson Oktoberfest tomorrow from noon to 4. For just $35, you're going to get entry into the event space, access to some great food vendors, live entertainment, a commemorative beer mug with three mug fills, and I think this one's for me, a pie-eating contest, Bill. If it's a cherry pie or a coconut cream pie, just call me the winner right now. You can get all the details at oktoberfestaz.com. It's tomorrow, and it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, and the thing about the pie contest, there'll be no utensils. So
the forks and knives will never get in my way. I'm going ahead first, Bill.
So I think you'll be using your hands to get into that pie, and it'll be all over your face. But anyway, speaking of pies and all things October, I always think of our friends over at Apple Annie's.
Yeah, you know, you can't call it fall without our seasonal nod to Apple Annie's out in Wilcox. Fall at the farm, of course, means lots of pumpkins and hay rides and a corn maze, fall weather. It's all happening tomorrow and Sunday. Now, their corn maze, 600,000 stalks of corn make up this maze. Then hop on the hay ride, go out to the farm, pick some pumpkins, and then you're going to get some pumpkin pancakes, pumpkin pie, pumpkin bread, Applewood smoked burgers. It's the fragrance and flavors of fall, Bill, happening all weekend out at Apple Annie's.
Roll down the window. You'll be smelling the wonderful wonderful sense 10 miles out from Apple Annie's.
Right. It's brilliant marketing. That's
there you
that's
go. All right, Matt, I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks.
Thanks, my friend.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by our German friend, Christophan. And our thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Rose makes sure that we get all of our podcasts posted in a very timely manner at buckmastershow.com. Also, thanks to my longtime engineer, producer Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. Everybody has the same wish for you, and that is be well, everybody. Stay safe, and I hope it is a lovely weekend.